Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Well, bro, we want to shift gears just a little bit now and talk about our next topic, which is the transition from a Bible study to a church. Mm-hmm. So what does it look like? You know, a lot of what we do is we're going out, we're engaging new people with the gospel. Mm-hmm. We're following up with those people. We're beginning initial, you know, maybe it's further gospel sharing. Maybe it's if they've believed, initial discipleship with them. And so what we see is that oftentimes in ministry, there's a lot of new groups that start as people express interest in the gospel. And so our workers are going back. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a household. Maybe that's a person that they're meeting with. So they're going back. They're continuing to pour in to these people, teach them about the word of God, teach them about the gospel. But then our ultimate aim is always church planting, right? Whether that starts from a home or from a household. So talk about how do we help our people think through, our workers think through that transition from house group into church, maybe that initial discipleship meeting into church. We often get stuck at that Bible study level. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about identifying as church.
Let me encourage you, all the leaders who are having a group. You're starting well. But Bible says we need to end well. And good. I really praise God who are doing it faithfully and leading this group. Praise God. God will transit into a church one day. That is for sure. But first we need to transit our heart as well. Mm. Whenever we share the gospel, and we know that we find always three types of people. One will reject the gospel. When we'll hear the presentations very well and we think now she's going to say yes. And we'll think, oh, my uncle is not at home. Or my husband is not at home. Let me think about it. Oh, as a presenter, we get disheartened. But you know, one of the most disheartening things that we face is that when people said yes, we call it green light. When they said yes to the Lord, when they go back to follow, next day they turn into a yellow or red.
Happens many times. Yeah,
it happens. No, that many was the times. Most disheartened. Yesterday he said yes, and today he saw me or she saw me and she ran away. Mm. That's really disheartened the people. Green light turning into yellow and red. Yeah. That is one of the most difficulties all the church planters faced. And I have faced, and I know that many of you are facing today. Mm-hmm. Let me be an encouragement today for all of us. Don't be disheartened, my co-workers in the Lord. God knows whom to bring, and He knows who. Many times when you go and share the Gospels, enemy always want to take our time with the red people. They will ask several questions to us and we try to answer all the questions because we know the answers. But I stopped doing that. I said, brother, if you have questions, I really like your questions. Can we meet tomorrow? You say that way, that red light will just stand and they will move. I'll tell you one story. Like in one village, we share the gospel. Two teachers said yes to Jesus. They were in the words of yes to Jesus. And there was a man who was drunk, maybe semi-drunk. He was also in the group, sitting next to him. And the teacher said, I want to accept Jesus. I said, yes. That drunkard said, I also heard the presentations. I want to accept Jesus. I gave a signal to my pastors, please take away this man. That man said, no, I'm not going. I want to accept Jesus. He's almost semi-drunk. Then I have no choice. I lead them to the Lord. Three of them said yes to the Lord. And after 2 months, when I went for follow-up, man, you know, the two teachers were not in the church. That drunkard man was in the church. And he said, brother, I'm in the church. I'm struggling with my drinking habit. But God is so faithful that day was the salvation for that man, semi-drunk man. Mm. But enemy was focusing me to the teachers. What I want to say is that when you focus the green among the green, and let me say in this way, like you'll get a dark green. It's not good to give example like this, but out of green, you'll get a dark green.
Dark green.
We'll say, I will do anything for the Lord. Then when they repent and believe, maybe you need to lead them second sinner's prayer to them. They will say, bro, I'm really, really, I'm fascinated. I'll give you an example like 1 month back. His name is Jivan Lama. He accepted the Lord in Pathan Hospital. He was sick. We shared the gospel. One of my church planters, his name is Umesh, he shared the gospel. I was looking at him and I was in the conversation. I thought this man accepted Jesus because he is sick. And I didn't give attentions. I was also in the hospital. I went to pray for one leader. Then the pastor message called me, "Uncle, that man said he is inviting us to share this news to his family." And I remember Cornelius. Really? Then I was down. I took out my car. Three of us, we sat in the car, my wife, Umesh, and Umesh called one of his disciples. Four of us, we went. And he brought all his family members and waiting for us.
Wow. Just like and Cornelius.
That man, how he introduced to us, you know, he said, "This man has shared something in the hospitals that has touched my heart. I think we need to listen to everyone." Then that presentation went to 15 people.
Wow.
Then we said, "Repent and believe," he said, and we talk about baptism. That man said, "What is baptism?" Then my church planters, the pastor may said, he explained the church. I said, "I need to take baptism." And he baptized. Then I always tell that if you want to transit from a group to the bride of Christ, we need to have a people who are baptized. Mm. In our scenario, in our country, people said, "You go to church, no issue," because they know that in the church they have a good teachings. They give a moral teachings. The children's walk in the light. The people knows if they go to church, they will not do things that the world teaches them to do. But they always tell them, "You can give tithes." Even one auntie, one family sent me a handful of rice. They're only single daughters in the church, in their family. But what that lady told to her daughter, "Don't take baptism, okay? If you take baptism, they think that you will be 100% Christians." That's the belief they have. Otherwise, church, sometimes they think that it's a good place of a moral teaching. Sometimes they think that church is a place where you'll get a knowledge how to live life on this earth. Of course, we do that also. The motive of the church is to build the relations between the Savior and the creations. That is the real motive of a church. I always tell people, God did not give missions to the church, but church is established for its missions.
Yeah.
For the reasons like, if there is a baptized believers, last time some people asked me, "How you define a church by a house church?" I said, "I don't have a house church." And they told me, I heard you are a house church planter." I said, "No, man. I am a church planter. But I have no place. That's why I do my church in my house." If you want to bless me your building, I want to come and worship God there.
Yeah.
Will you allow me? If you are doing from 10 to 12, let me do it 2 to 4 for free. Because you have caught the ribbon of this building by saying that this building will use for the glory of the Lord. That day he asked me, "What do you explain me or give definition regarding the church?" Because many times they saw a small congregation in our churches. And I told them, if there is a baptized believers, any day they come to worship, any place they will gather as a body of Christ, they regard themselves as a church. I don't mind where they meet.
Mm.
I don't mind which day they meet. I told them, if they are willing or if they want to crawling for the kingdom work, that is the body of Christ. That I address always as a church. So they didn't say anything. If I say two or three, they will say, "Oh, three people can be a church." That's why I said, if there is baptized believers,
yeah,
you need to be very careful. If you say, if there is two or three baptized believers, I'll call them church. They said, "Oh, that means you have 500 churches because of three believers."
Mm.
If I divide my congregations, I'll have 1,000 churches.
Mm.
They may say that.
Yeah.
That's why you need to say, if there is a baptized believers willing to meet as a body, which day I don't know, where I don't know, and want to pursue the kingdom work, that is the bride of Christ.
Man. It's such an important thing to have that idea of what's the bare minimum, if biblically thinking about a church, right? Sometimes in some circles we say that and people are a little put off by it. Like, why would we just talk about the bare minimum of church? But it's so important. And we were talking about this even yesterday in our session. It's so important that from the beginning, they understand who they are.
Yes.
Right? And biblically, if you look at it, from the beginning, they didn't call a group of baptized believers anything else other than church, even if it was maybe just a household, right? We see the church starting in Philippi, maybe from the jailer's family, maybe from Lydia.
Lydia house, right? Yes.
And so just from even from those two, we know that there was a church that was started in that city. Now, we don't know exactly how many more were added, right?
Yeah.
But from a very small start, in this case, maybe just two households, of baptized believers saying, "Yes, we're going to be the body of Christ in this place." And we as leaders, we speak that.
Yes.
We help speak that future and that reality into them by saying, "You are what the Bible said you are. You're not a group. You're not anything else. There's one biblical word for you. It's church."
Amen.
That's encouraging to them. you know, helps them grow into it as well, what we see over time. What are the things that you do at the front, at the beginning of maybe even that group starting or beginning to meet with those people? What are the important things to do at the beginning to help set it on that trajectory towards church?
I mean, like, I'm talking about just a month old church, not 3 weeks old church that God has blessed us just in the month of June. As I said, his name was Jivan Lama. He came to faith and he brought the household. Now only three of them accepted the Lord, wife, daughter, and a grandmother. The son is working abroad and daughter-in-law is at home. Both of them have not accepted the Lord. The daughter-in-law said, I want to accept Jesus with my husband. I said, I honor your decision because how much you love your husband. Mm. Then I said, can I have a call with him? Video call. And we did that. I said to that man, you know one thing? Your wife loves you so much because she wants to take that great decisions with you. And I shared the gospel and I said, what do you think, Ben? And he said, hey, you accept. I'll also accept now. Now all the household accepted the Lord.
Wow.
Only one baptized man there. Three are still struggling. And you know, like in many in South Asia, when somebody come to faith, before no Christian will visit them. When if they are not believers, no Christians come to their house. But when they heard they became a believers, then they will get a voice from every angle.
Yeah.
One of his relatives came and asked him, which church you go? They said, this is the church. And they said, who told you they do in-house? And Jivan was a little disheartened. If you die, we'll bury you.
Mm.
If your daughter wants to get married, we'll do the marriage ceremony. So many questions poured in his heart. And yep. He was disheartened. And because he was a new man, he shared everything what he. And I called that brother. I said, next week, you call that sister again and go to each church. Ask one question to his pastor in front of her. How he started this church. Then they went. They asked, Pastor, I really love you. My pastor said, I need to respect you. How do you start this church? Mm. He said, I started two people. And now they have 200 believers.
Mm.
They said, they started with two. And I told him, we started with five. And I told him that one day we'll also turn into 200. We don't know. It is in the plan of the Lord. But tell them, until we reach 200, we'll do here. For example, like in this kind of scenario, like first we'll do one by one discipleship. Many times we go and teach about prayer. Like, for example, we read Matthew 6 and tell them prayer is talking to God. We may say many things. But last times, one of the new church planter taught me, today we are going to practice about prayer. I was thinking, how are we going to practice prayer? It was also a new thing for me now. I taught them how to pray, but he said, after my presentation, my sessions, they said, we are going to practice. And he said, when you pray, brother, how need to start? He said, Our Father, our Heavenly Father in heaven. Very good. You understand? Tell me again. Our Father in heaven. Our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. Then Uncle Kiran, he told me, can you say one prayer request that you want to pray by these new believers? Then I don't know how to give the prayer request. I said, please pray educations for my son. And Uncle pray for him. In the last of the prayer, you need to say, in the precious name of Jesus, I ask this prayer. Amen. Our Heavenly Father who are in heaven. And the first part and the last part, he got it. In the middle part, pray for Kiran. He said, Our Father in heaven, pray for Kiran's son's education in the name of his father. Amen. Now again, he asked that brother, Brother, do you have a prayer request? That uncle will pray. And he asked me, you need to pray same like him. I can pray better. But I said, Our Father who are in heaven, I pray for Jivan to complete healings in the name of Jesus. Amen. We did 26 prayers. And at the end, what was the closing statement the pastor said? You can pray to God anytime. How many times? It's not counted in the Bible. And that man said, Brother, I'm praying. Whenever I call him, he said, Brother, just now I finished my prayer. Then I checked my prayer life. If you want to transit from a group to a church, you need to be constant or you need to be pursuing that group with wholeheartedly. And when you get a privilege to address them as a church, don't call them as a group. Maybe you can keep that word group in your heart because there is no baptized believers. Don't tell them you are not baptized, that's why you cannot call your church.
Right.
Don't tell them that until you're born, I will call you sons. Until you got the citizenship or a passport, then I'll call you sir. Don't tell them because your children will get hurt. Same thing with the body of Christ. Put in your heart, just think that when the one baptized or so, 2-3 baptized peoples, that day I will rejoice and we'll all make a slogans. I am a church, you are a church, and we make a church for His glory. And one day when Christ comes, this bride of Jesus will go and we'll all see in heaven.
Yeah.
Just continue to do it. And as I said, keeping that word in your heart. And as I said, we are not against any group or pressures, but I just want to encourage, if you have a vision to turn into a bride of Christ, that is church, just keep in that mind.
Yeah.
And when they were born or whenever you think that right time, just give it that name to them.
So good. Yep. That's such a powerful thing. I've heard you say that many times, that even from the beginning, from that core of just the first start of the church, you're telling them, you're saying to them, we are the church, and even encouraging them to say that for themselves. I think when they can identify that for themselves, that's a powerful thing.
Yes.
Because they're claiming all of the truths of Scripture about the bride of Christ, about the body of Christ, they're claiming those for themselves by saying, we are the church.
Yes.
What are maybe some common barriers that you've seen in this transition from group to church, like starting out at the beginning? What are some mistakes you've seen people make?
Many times, the biggest barriers are leaders like me. Because we never encourage someone to start the church with few or whatever. Like, once I thought I'm doing a CPM and I'm doing the right things, I felt like that. Once one of my leaders called me from far west of Nepal, brother, near our church, this young man came and started a church. If they sing, we can hear. If I sing, they can hear. And I said, really? He has taken our believers? They said, no. Then I went in the church. And we were worshiping God. And I stopped in the worship. They don't sing song or what? We are not hearing any songs from them. They said, no, brother, they are a little far. Because many times, because with our anger or with our jealousy, we make the things. They are very close to me. It was almost like 1 kilometer away from us. Mm-hmm. And after we finished our church, then I went and bought a food for him. I bought some snacks, some biscuits, some milk. And I said, let's go visit that man of God who has started a church. And I went. When he looked at my pastor, his face turned into difference because he knew, oh, this man will brought another man to say something to me. And I said, brother, we are here to encourage you. And I gave him the small gift that we've taken him. I said, I really appreciate, brother, you started a church. I really praise God, brother. Is there anything we can help if you need a Bible? We have a free Bible distribution. That time somebody blessed me a Bible.
Yes.
I brought one carton of Bible for you also. Use it for God's glory. And I told him, don't worry, bro.
Yes.
Church can be started by God and through His peoples. Anyone can start a church if God has blessed him a vision. And I said, who am I to stop the church? Many times I tell them one example to the peoples. In our nations, you can see every 100 meters, you can see a temple. I think you agree with me, Mr. Jason.
No doubt.
I have never seen any Hindus fighting for the temple. I have a temple. Why you build a temple? They never quarrel. I have already a temple. Why you build a temple in your house? They never fight. Then as the children of living God, why should we fight? And why should we discourage others who want to start a church?
Yeah.
I always tell people, start a church. If you need help, our group are always willing to help.
Mm.
But sometimes barriers are, I'll never say legacy or whatever, church, but sometimes we leaders, believers never stop to plant church. Only the leaders like you and me said, don't do this. I never seen even believers are telling, don't plant a church.
Yes.
They are happy. Oh, here is church. They become a smile. They said, JMC, praise the Lord. But leaders get upset. And if you want to big barriers, we need to pray as the leaders, change my heart, Lord, and change the heart of the leaders.
Yeah. Well, there you go again, turning it back on us as leaders, right? Yeah. That we need to focus on ourselves first, to look in the mirror. So oftentimes we ourselves and our own assumptions are the barriers to that. Man. All right. Let's maybe get real practical for this next question. Just in terms of leading that initial group meeting, what are some things that you found or maybe just paint a picture for some of our listeners who may not be as familiar with, what does it look like to really just start with that small group in a home? What does it look like to run that meeting?
We start with prayer. Definitely, I know everyone starts with prayer. And many times we use the word invocations. But maybe the new believers will not understand what is invocation or prayer that we need to say. We need to say that every time when we start to do something, we always start with talking to God. Then talk, and maybe only for 4 months or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, you need to sing only one song. I know you know the South Asian love to sing. But when you start a church, only one song you need to repeat every day, every week, so that they can learn that song. You know, I started a church. I am a guy who cannot sing. But I can make a grateful noise to the Lord. I used to go to a church and I used to play in my laptop those days with a Bluetooth speaker. And I said, everybody listen to this song. And everybody would say, oh, I love this song. Then I used to distribute. I used to write that songs in the paper and I used to give them. Yes. Can you read this song again? And I asked them, can you write one application from this song? What did you learn from this song?
Wow.
My wife used to laugh at me because she is from a 8,000 believers church, no? They have a great music. Huh? So that time my wife was learning my language. They came from a big church and a good speaker will come and say, here, we're listening a song and we're saying we're worshiping God. That doesn't make sense to her. But later on, she enjoyed that. And she said, many times I sang this song. But that didn't give me a message. But when I read these songs, now it's become a message to me.
Wow.
Many times our songs are also a message or a teaching for us. Then many times when he started us, do the same thing again and again. Until Holy Spirit told, Holy Spirit convict you, they've understood.
Yeah.
Maybe don't go to a house and you may think, oh, I did prayer last time, I need to do now Lord's Supper. No. If they are not doing prayer, again, go back to the prayer. Don't teach them. You didn't learn that, so I'm teaching the same lesson. No. Tell them in a different way. Brothers and sisters, when I was coming here, again, I really convicted that this prayer need to be my daily life. That's why, again, we're going to discuss about prayer life.
Amen.
Same thing need to be repeated again and again. The new believers are like a newborn child. They need to treat how to drink milk first. Maybe they'll spill all the milk. Maybe you need to hold the bottle also first. Maybe you'll be only the one who's singing that song. Mm. Don't be embarrassed by doing that.
Yeah.
Maybe you're only the one will praying because others are just keep silent, they're listening. Mm. But I appreciate that. Maybe sometimes you ask them to pray for the food, they may pray for other things. It's okay.
Yep.
It shows that yes, your believers are great.
Yep.
When they're committing errors, you need to understand they're growing.
It's good.
And when you start a church, repeat the things if they are struggling with that.
Yeah.
And
so good.
You need to tell them, I have struggled in this for many, many years.
Mm.
Last time, a brother, he was so scared to lead the Bible study. Nearly he cried. He's in his bachelor and he's in college.
Mm.
I thought he was very confident in my... Because I lead the first group and next group we need to lead. Nearly I cried and I told him, brother, you need to listen to one story? I said, yes, uncle. With his low voice, I said, one time a man asked me to preach in a church. And with confidence, I said, yes. You know what happened when I went to the church and when I was in the pulpit, everyone was watching me. I became that nervous. I said, let's pray. And I ran out. I don't know who preached that day.
I just
left the church, yeah. And I left. But nobody told me anything. Because you know that they have seen that one day God can use this guy.
Mm.
Brother, this guy was like that. You are far better than me.
Yeah.
Today with your fear, but you have led the group. Man, I can see you are far better than me.
Mm.
He said, uncle, you flee away? He said, yes. And he said, you want to verify this story? And I give a number to one of the uncle. And he said, yeah, he did that. And he said, oh, he did that, man. He had a joy then.
Yeah.
Sometimes we try to correct them.
Yeah.
We need to encourage them. That is for sure. But we need to tell them how I started. How I started my work.
Yep.
And he was shocked that how I started the work.
Brother, just you continue to lead from your own humility. I just love so much. This is one of the great things that blesses me when I'm around you is how you just share from your own failures, you know, that you connect with people. And I think even to the point we were just talking about, that just being with people, giving them a chance to fail, to maybe not learn it yet. And so the power of that repetition, you know, that people just need chances over and over again. It's not like the disciples ever got any of Jesus's teaching the first time around, right? We see him repeating things over and over again, bringing things back up, even sometimes chastising them for not understanding at that point. But that's just some of the realities of pioneer church planting. Mm. When you're starting a church from new believers, it's just different. You can't assume anything. Like you said, they're like infants. They're like children.
Yes. The people asked me, like, what is the best way to do CPM work? I told one thing. If I was Jesus, I'll never use Peter. Because according to the book of Luke, he rejected Jesus 3 times in front of Jesus. In the book of Luke, it says, when Jesus looked at Peter's face, Peter went and repented. In Bible, Jesus never said Satan to anyone, but he said to Peter, Satan behind me. But look at this man. Even though he do mistakes, even though he got the title Satan also by God himself,
yeah,
he was pursuing Jesus. Whatever, I'll follow this man.
That's right.
In church planting, whatever you face, please, the co-workers of this listeners of podcast, we should not forget to pursue Jesus.
Yeah.
That is the success of ministry.
That's it. We pursue him together and call others to the same.
Yes.
Right? That is our priority. As we're talking about putting the right things on top,
yes,
that's the thing that needs to be on top every time, pursuing Jesus. Brother, thank you so much for this time, man. Just such a blessing. Again, every time, like I said, every time I hear from you, my heart is blessed. I learn, I'm challenged. I know that that has happened for the people that are going to tune into this as well and listen to this podcast.
Thank you, so, Brother Jesse. And I know his wife, Cindy. She's a great lady, and thank you for serving the Lord in these nations. You are so blessed to many, many brothers, to many Indians. Many people talk, Jesse is my brother. I'm so proud when you said my city, Mumbai to my city. That has just blown my mind.
Praise God.
And thank you for doing that. But with encouragement, I want to challenge one thing with you, your family also.
Mm. Bring it.
Our sacrifice compared to the cross is nothing.
Think
that we're sacrificing too much. Compared to the cross, we have not done anything. God bless you. Continue the good work. And one day this city will be known as the city of God, city of light. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.